It's been a long week and the weekend's nearly here, so kick back with us. Welcome to Casual Friday with Brett Phillips on 1116 SEM.
Good afternoon, everyone. 6 minutes after midday. Welcome along to halftime. It is a very, very casual Friday. Richo and Rita very shortly. Of course, for the next couple of hours, we'll have our big sports wrap after 2 o'clock. Plenty of great sport happening overnight. The second day of the Ashes Test. Wimbledon, of course, with the women's semi-finals. The Tour de France will update all of that. Steve Hart to look ahead to the big weekend of NRL. And late call up off the bench because the people's hamstring has literally done one. Out. Nathan Thompson, late withdrawal after 3 o'clock. Let's hope he's right for the footy across the weekend. Troy Zantuck is going to come in talking some footy as we preview all the matches up after three. Well, I haven't done this show for a long time. I think it was upstairs when we sat in the penthouse here at SEM. It's great to be alongside Richo and Rita for Casual Friday, team.
Oh, Flipper, just a bloody joy. See, what our role is, you and I, is we just sit back and... This little freak just goes about just mowing the world down, and we just, whatever she says, we just have to disagree with. That's basically the rules.
That's how it works.
Yeah, so good luck.
Rightio, well, I'm going to just put the feet on the desk and listen to the gold.
Persian princess.
I don't know if I like this little freak. That's not an introduction you want.
Hang on, it was a term of endearment, this little freak.
I think you've actually done that in a public setting when we've been introduced, yeah. You know, yeah. In another. Rita, little freak.
This little freak show. hey, lots going on in sport. Oh. Hey, this is the first question. This is the first question. Mm. None of us break for Port Adelaide or Collingwood. No.
I did last night.
What was the default position? I know you love you some cricket. What was your default setting on your remote? Were you footy, flicking to cricket, flicking to Wimbledon, flicking to Tour de France, or were you any of the others?
Well, interesting last night. Now, I manage a football club on the side away
Huge
from SEM.
Mistake.
So we're sitting there Thursday night, footy's on. Demand remote, give me the remote control, let's put the Ashes on. We're a footy club. Get the Ashes on now. Not interested in Port Adelaide and Collingwood, so we flick to the Ashes.
Oh, that's
Ashes
outrageous.
Was no,
you
no.
Call yourselves a football team.
That
no.
was my default position as well.
It was a great game. Like it wasn't just an
was
ordinary.
It? Tell us about it. Summarize it. You're our footy
the
expert.
Last quarter.
Yeah, the end was compelling.
Oh, the last 10 minutes was absolutely.
So you flick
there was
back.
No flicking oh, yeah. around then. Maybe you know just in the ad break for just a quick score check.
So what
cricket.
Missed out? Because for me, for me, tennis missed out.
Forget it.
Shut up.
Forget it. Why would you bother? On another night, yeah. But not when the footy's on.
Well, especially with
the
cycling, when you flick over and they say 125Ks to go, you go, okay, well I'll just let them get...
We'll come in for the sprint.
That's right. I'll just wait for them to get 80Ks further down the road.
Do you care about the cycling? I mean, I love the scenery, but I mean, do you really care? Are you invested? Do you
yes.
care who's
Very invested.
Oh, you've bet on this.
No, emotionally invested. No, emotionally invested. Emotionally.
Is it a problem?
No. Is it a problem? Do we need to help? Do we need to get help?
Well, see, I'm obviously love the tennis, but the first semi-final.
Oh, yes, you're the tennis man.
First semi-final, it was done. Well, yeah. It ended up turning into a decent match, but I was keen to watch Serena a little bit later on, but she just made very light work of Maria.
Maria just needs to grow a set of kahunas. I mean, we need to see some sort of inner strength and belief against Serena. Because she just doesn't think, she does not believe she can beat her.
17 in a row.
She goes out on the court and just looks down the other end and goes, oh, let's get this over and done with.
So she is a bunny.
She is a bunny.
And this has been the two best at the game, and they fluctuate a little bit.
Well,
the rankings, but they've been the two best for a long time.
Some people say disparaging things about women's tennis. I mean, really.
Oh, you.
This is the very best, and this is what we're dealing with. Give us a break.
Hang on. That's disrespecting an athlete that will go down with...
Oh, absolutely.
Like, she will be the icon of her chosen sport. So let's not just totally dismiss the sport because...
No, we're not dismissing the sport.
You don't dismiss those that are getting
beaten. It
actually
is one of the very few, if not, you know, it is the premier women's sporting event. It's the one where, you know, there is the public interest, there are people viewing, there's people turning up. They're generating great income. So, I mean, it's actually the example for all the other women's sports to emulate. But... let's not pretend it's at the same standard as the men or as competitive
totally
as the men.
It's totally different. It's like comparing apples with oranges. It's
well,
a
it
totally
well,
you know
it's nearly
it's
a different sport.
Game. It's yeah. tennis.
It's not, but it's played because of their...
Remember when Serena and Venus played that little... Was he German or a Frenchman? He was ranked 203 in the world.
Here we go.
Well, it happened in Melbourne Park. It happened right here. Because Serena or Venus, one of them said, we could beat a bloke ranked 200 or outside the 200, top 200. So this dude, he was ranked 203, goes, I'm here. Let's do it, girls.
His name is Brett Phillips.
Yeah. It wasn't Brett. this is how he prepared for the game. He went out in the morning, played a bit of golf, had a few shandies.
Yeah.
Some say he also had a few smokes, but, you know, that's neither...
What, gaff? Just gaspers?
Confirmed or denied yet.
What are you saying? He just twisted one up.
So he's in perfect nick.
Yeah, he's in perfect nick. So he's going to play Venus for one set, Serena for one set. Mm. Beat Serena 6-1, beat Venus 6-2. Yeah. Ranked 203 in the world.
Hang
so
on.
That's when I say the standard's different.
So do you look at Catherine Freeman and go, oh, she's a dud because Michael Johnson would have beaten her by 100?
No.
It's apples and oranges. Don't compare them.
I know, but I'm saying as a viewer, I do compare them because I don't want to be watching 15 hours of tennis a day. So if I'm going to watch a couple of hours of tennis and my options are
You'll get
a,
three
B
games
C.
of women's in. You won't even get two sets of men's. So you've only got a couple of hours.
That is a good point. That is a marketing point.
That's right.
You can say
over and done with.
Yeah.
That's why I reckon Serena, all through every tournament she plays, probably thinks, look, I should just destroy every player. But just to give the fans out there something, I'm going to drop the first set. Just to give a bit of value.
You know really? What?
Is that
I
a
reckon
theory?
She yeah, I reckon savvy she enough to do that.
Shush up.
Just start slowly.
Well, you need to get the
around.
Advertising. I mean, that's one of the reasons, yeah, because the games are so short, they don't generate the same income, particularly the Grand Slams, as the you know massive five-setters the men sometimes
so
play.
So you reckon that she's saying, listen,
I'm on board with this conspiracy.
I'm about to go down the line with a big forehand. This will be a winner, but you know what? I'll just whack it back in the middle, just keep that girl at the end involved.
If you're that good and that dominant, you've got to keep it interesting.
Well, let's celebrate her greatness.
Too boring. You know,
let's celebrate.
Come from behind, win 9-7 in the
third.
Did
Walter Lindstrom get bored, did he? Did he start going, this is, did you, what, say that again?
Obviously. No.
do you know who he is?
He's a dude who did great things.
What sport did he play?
Oh, let's not, you know, split hairs. I mean, sport.
Just going to the R&D department.
Let's just declare what sport an Australian icon played.
It's a fantastic sport, and it's a sport that I'm quite fond of myself.
Yes.
It's something that I want my son to get into.
You might have stayed at the Lindrum Hotel. If you're Googling that, that's not going to work.
Well, if you're just joining us, so Footy Fix will start at 5 today.
It's not even a real sport.
What is it?
Snooker?
Well, that's wrong.
Here I'm thinking
he didn't play snooker.
Something significant.
He didn't play snooker.
What? The other one?
He played billiards.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Oh, please.
9429 1116. We want you involved as always with the fun and frivolity of Casual Friday.
I actually thought,
she
oh my god.
Came up to the Hotel Lindrum. Why? You've stayed at the Lindrum?
I have.
You know why it's named the Lindrum?
Walter likes it.
No, that was his old. That was the old,
really, and they named a hotel.
The old billiard hall.
It is a nice sounding hotel. See, I didn't know it was named after him. But that's
never heard of him, have you? Be honest.
Oh no. Why would I?
Because Farlap, Sir Donald Bradman.
Oh no! How dare you?
Lindrum's up there.
No. Yep.
He is.
No.
Look at Flipper. Snooker. He knows stuff.
Snooker is underestimated.
It's billiards, not snooker.
Billiards.
See,
whatever
he doesn't
you
even
like.
Know the sport.
Whatever
don't
you
back
like.
What
him
am
up.
I
dealing with? Whatever you like. Let's go to Lachlan. He's down in Tassie. Be nice and warm down there, Lachlan.
It's actually not too bad today, Brett. Yeah, walked into work and actually worked up a sweat, actually, after the
worked
freezing mornings that we've had lately.
Hey, here's a great question, Lachie. Here we go, champion. Think about this before answering. Are you in Hobart or are you in Launceston?
I'm up the north, mate. I'm on the north coast.
Cut this bloke off.
Beautiful part of the world.
No, I'm in Tasmania. I've only been down here a few years, so I'm not involved in all the all the weirdness of the north and the south.
So, what part of the north? You're not Launceston. Where else?
I'm in Ulverston.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Good spot.
Yeah.
Beautiful part of the world.
Moved over here from Victoria a few years ago, so yes.
What did you do with yourself there?
I bought a business here, so.
Okay. Tourism?
A little, got a little dental practice here. So.
Dental work, okay.
Yeah. 9429 1116. If you would like to give of yourself personally, jump on the line like Lockie has as we go down memory lane with Lockie.
Reason I'm actually ringing.
Oh, sure.
I just can't believe Rita's having all this conversation with you guys about women's sport.
I know. I thought you didn't care.
No one's interested.
Hatred of women's sport the other week in her article that I read. Now she's going on and on about Maria and Serena and all these wonderful women sportsmen.
No, I'm not.
I couldn't quite believe my ears.
You need to wash out your ears because we've just been arguing and I've been recounting how it's not as good as the men's product, and given that I've only got so many hours in a day to watch sport, I prefer to watch the men. I just repeated what we wrote in the article a couple of weeks ago. So there's no contradiction here.
Well, there is a contradiction.
Lockie
raises a great point because
had an argument where I said, I just restated my position, which was in the article.
Now
you forgot about it.
In your article, line one, I don't really care about women's sport. Now, Lockie's point is, why are you even talking about Maria and Serena if you don't care about it? How do you even know their names?
Because if you don't care,
you wouldn't even know their names.
I think childish.
I accidentally slipped in some tennis.
That's childish.
The fire.
That's just...
You wouldn't even know them if you didn't care.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a fantastic argument. That's what you're going to go with. Well, if you read on for the 900 words in that piece.
I stopped.
You stopped.
Hey,
you would have seen that I actually used tennis as the blueprint for other women's sport to follow, instead of whinging and whining about, nobody watches, we don't get paid, we got no corporate sponsorship. Well, look at what the tennis people do.
You have to do it in that whiny voice?
Well, because they are whiners.
Hey, Lockie.
They're drainers.
Who's they?
Lockie, you still there?
You know that.
Yeah, Brett.
Women's sport, I mean, do you like it? Is there a favourite female sports
person? When's the last WNBL game you went to, Lockie?
We don't have a team in Tassie, but I don't mind watching women's golf, and I don't mind watching the women's tennis, and I'm a fan of some women's sport, not all of it, not all men's sport either.
Well, that's the point, Lockie. I mean, do I care about watching
You hate Kathy
triathlons?
Freeman.
Oh, yeah, I hate Kathy.
You're a disgrace. You hate Dawn. You don't like any female athlete out there. It's a disgrace.
Let's just get this out of the system early.
What's Kathy done to you?
You've lost it. I love Kathy.
What's Sally Pearson done? What's she done to you? So you don't watch, do you? You don't care about women's sport. You can't keep changing your position.
I have never changed my position, you fool. You are just purposely saying insane stuff to try to get a rise out of me. Yeah. And you know what? It will work.
That's right.
Because it works every week.
It's getting really close to working.
Thank you, Lockie. Thanks for calling
in. What is it called? Ulverston Smile, Lockie?
He's gone.
Oh,
done. Lost the line to Tassie.
Austin Dental.
Pete's in North Bowl, and welcome to you, Pete.
Poor Tassie doesn't even have a WNBL team. Jeez.
Peter.
So, boys and Rita, I just wanted to speak to you about endorsements and what have you. Cho would know that when Sergei Bucher was competing, that he had the clause in his sponsorship. He beat the world record. He went on to do it by 1 centimetre, what have you. I'm sure that Serena could put in there a bit of court time value.
Do you know who Sergei Bucher is?
I do know who's
what
Sergei.
Sport did he?
Oh, get stuffed.
What? Just answer, then we can move on.
Really?
Yeah.
Senior or junior?
See, I didn't know there was a junior.
What about junior?
What does junior do?
Junior plays tennis, isn't it?
Well, he did. He's dropped off.
Right, okay.
Well, you know, the one where they run with a stick and then they jump over the
what's it called?
Pole vault.
Someone told you.
No one told me. But yeah, I do remember. That was a very clever work by him. How many times did he break the world record and get a payout each time?
I reckon, Pete may know, 12 or 13. It was the first to go over 6 metres and then he just kept going up by a centimetre at a time. There was rumour and innuendo back in the day in the athletics fraternity that he's jumped 6:20.
Is that right?
Yet he was just going there and just 6:01 and then going, no, I don't want to do it anymore. And then he'd come back the next week and bang, 6:02 and then I'm going to shut it down. Another world record.
How far did he get?
I think Pete may know. It's 6:10, 12, something like that. Pete?
Oh, so he never actually got to the 6:20 again.
6:15 from memory.
What is he?
15.
6:15 from memory. Okay. And I think he did 6 indoor and 7 outdoor world records.
Yeah. Just plucking along.
Great stuff. Good on you, Pete. Appreciate the call. Just before the break, Tony's in Doreen. Hi, Tony.
How you going, guys?
Welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Just want to go on the you on the line just support Rita. You're a champion, Rita. Finally, a female journalist comes out and speaks the truth without worrying about the backlash. You are spot on 100%. I love women's sport. It ain't as good as men's sport. I'll support the countries because I'm patriotic. But the fact is a fact.
Yeah, but Tone, she doesn't like women's sport.
Yeah, and he's...
And you do.
It's a fact is a fact. The fact is I'm not alone. It doesn't rate.
But I watch men's sport. I mean, you can't compare women to men's sport.
Exactly.
A million times better. It's just the body structure, the skill, you can go on and on.
Well, so hang on. But this is where I don't understand, Tone. So you're trying to say that watching Michael Johnson at the Sydney Olympics is better than watching Kathy Freeman.
Stupid.
No, because
it's a stupid example. No,
why?
Pick a team sport and
Why pick a team sport?
Because talking about the Olympics and the significance of the Olympics once every 4 years, you know, an Australian actually achieving in track and field, that's completely different.
Okay, forget the Australian out of it then. So take the men's 100 metres at the next Olympics versus the women's 100.
You're not interested in the women's. Again, you're talking, because you're interested in the Olympic medal. You're interested in whoever's representing your country. I get interested in sports I would never, ever watch at any other time. And I only am interested during the Olympics. Do you think I care about javelin and discus and kayaking? Do you think I care about kayaking for the other, you know, three years and...
Which part? Are you talking sprint kayaking
11
or are you more
and a
the
half
rapids?
Months that...
So you into the rapids?
We're just going to pause this conversation for a moment. And don't underestimate the pulling value of Ulverston, the under-16 national basketball championships.
Really?
At the moment.
Oh,
the whole town.
You've never
walking.
Been to Ulverston, have you?
I've driven through it.
Have you, though? You didn't
cold
pause?
Part of the world.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you have... Don't stop at the traffic lights. Just go straight through.
22 past 12, Casual Friday. More of your calls, 9429 1116. Welcome back to Casual Friday here on Halftime. And I'll tell you what, the town of Ulverston
will get
more mentions in the next 2 hours than the entire history of SEM. But not just your local Tom, Dick or Harry has come from
Mate, I've
Ulverston.
Done some research because that's what I do. That's some I bring research.
So you basically Googled one word.
Shut up.
And went to the top result.
Prime Minister of Australia, Joseph Lyons. So Joseph Lyons, born in Ulverston. He's never been referred to as Joey. He's a Prime Minister. Minister from 32 to 39. Ulverston, if you don't mind. Richard Fromberg.
Oh, yes.
Tennis player.
Still having a hit too.
Is he?
Yeah, Richard. Yeah, just
one of the funniest
Ben Hilfenhausers.
Names.
Oh, Fromberg is?
Do I know what a Fromberg is or do I know who Fromberg
is? No, but why is it so funny, Fromberg?
No, it's just funny off the tongue. I don't know. What does it mean, something?
Same, well, maybe it's something up in Ulverston because Ben Hilfenhaus, the test cricketers.
I
from
like saying Hilfenhaus as well.
Hilfenhaus. And also, here's one. And we hear him, of course, every single night with Mark Allen on Right Here on the Run Home. David Neitz is from Ulverston as well.
Fabulous.
With Marco. Exactly.
There's a lot of German sort of sounding names there, isn't there?
Ox Hate's getting confused with David Neitz.
No, seriously, when they played, I could not tell them apart. No, for a good two to three years.
He still gets stopped to this day. Good to see you, Nita.
Gee, Nita's let himself go. I'm kidding.
Hang on.
Now, he's looking superb.
Don't
always has.
Mow down icons.
Oh. I'm a fan of the Ox.
Nita.
Oh, and Nita.
9429 1116 if you want to join us. Casual Friday, where we just talk anything and everything. A couple of big segments coming up. But I don't know if, guys, you heard this during the week. Now, this has happened twice at the All England Club. You would think the journos would go into the press conference and have a little idea what might be just transpired. Let's take a listen to this.
Thomas, how do you feel after that match? You feel good, in good shape, going into the quarterfinals?
Sorry, excuse me.
You feel your form is good going into the quarterfinals?
You lost.
Sorry.
Obviously, you've got
a
lot of matches
too. Losing me, right? Or is he trying to make fun
no,
of
I'm
me?
Not
or?
Sorry.
Now, oh
is
my
he
God.
Trying to make fun of me?
I'm not sure
hilarious.
If it's the same Juno, but
oh
Nicholas Mahu went through this last year.
No, he did too.
Oh, it's the same player again.
No, that was Nicholas Mahmoud. That's a different name to Thomas Burdich.
Don't know if it was a different...
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear the player's
don't
name.
Don't know if it was a different journalist or maybe the same one, but same tournament. Nicholas Mahmoud was asked, fantastic, great win today. You're through to the whatever round it was.
That's right.
So what's happening with these journos? Are they just getting behind the bar, not actually watching a single ball, and then turning up to the
They're
presses?
In the little radio room, typing away, looking at a million screens. I'm not watching any tennis. Oh, Thomas Burdich is due in the main interview room. We better go in and have a chat to him.
That's right. They walk in there and say, how did Burdich go? Yeah. Sit down and ask him a question. And Thomas It was interesting.
Surely would you not sit down and just shut up and not ask a question? Like, if you haven't actually watched the match, you can just, you know, still
you would think so.
You
would think
take
so.
Down the
you
answers.
You know what? You just never, ever take a punt.
No.
I don't reckon. In our job, don't take a punt.
No, exactly. Peter Nelstonwick. Peter Nelstonwick, what do you think of all this, Pete?
Well, I want to ask Rita a question. Rita, you're a journalist, aren't you?
I'm a columnist and a journalist, Peter. Well, why do you want to know, Peter, from Elston Week?
You know, when you go
I remember you. You're a frequent caller, aren't you?
Hang on, let him.
No, you've got a bit of a thing about me. Go on. Work your issues through. We're here to
shut up, let him talk.
Do you know the first thing they teach you when you go to sports journalist school?
Oh, is there actual school for sports journalist school?
Yes,
where's the campus?
Lesson one. And you know what the lesson is?
Campus MCG. Go
when
on.
You're going to do an interview, make sure you know if you're talking to the winner or the loser. It does make a difference how the interview is going to go.
Yeah.
Peter, why do that when you can just keep it interesting? Just sort of flip a coin and go in there and just see how it goes.
Thomas's reaction.
Yeah, he gets a bit surly too, Thomas. He plays a big Mr. Nice Guy. But
I know.
And then the
look on his face, like... Mm. Basically you're taking the P1 here. What is going on?
It's hard enough full stop to interview tennis players, but when you get the first question wrong, that's not a good...
Someone stepped in who was a media person, advisor, sort of stepped in and tried to, you know, make light of the situation. But, yeah, he was having none of it. He thought, are you making fun of me? He thought he was a deliberate...
I know. What about the lady? He lost.
Yes. You didn't check?
But you know what?
What?
We see at that with AFL presses where, you know, there'll be a room full of people, but, you know, typically three or four will do most of the questions. You would think, and they're people who've actually watched the game. Mm. If you haven't actually watched any of it, don't know what's happened, why would you put your hand up and say, me, I want to ask a question.
I'm going first up.
That's it. I'm going to kick off proceedings. I'm not just going to ask a question.
Hey, Ulverston's going off too.
It is.
By the way.
Long list of names.
Kerry Good apparently is from Ulverston. I've just received a text from my mum who's just announced that my grandmother's from Ulverston.
Well, you're probably related to all these people.
This is breaking news for you?
It's breaking news for me. I'm like, really? What do you mean I'm related to these people?
Well, there's a fairly small population, I would suggest, back
in your grandma's
days. You're
not going with the whole inbreeding Tasmania joke
again,
are you?
I'm not. I don't know why you jumped those conclusions again. Do we need to talk through
issues? Because
we
know what you're like. You're from Persia. You hate on us, Ulverston's people.
Yeah, the Persians have got a long...
long war against Ulverston.
That's it. They've declared a fatwa against your whole village. You probably are, you know. You probably have got links to all
I'm
these names.
To Richard Fromberg.
And Hilfenhaus. And
Nita.
And Schwartz.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Hey, just to finish off on our mate Thomas. Here's the Nicholas Mahu. This is the quick grab from last year.
Oh, here we go.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I lost.
You lost?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So what happened out there?
Mais qu'est-ce qui s'est passé sur le court?
Are you serious?
No.
Did you watch the match?
Vous êtes sérieux?
No,
vous avez vu le match ou pas?
I was told that you won. I'm sorry.
Non, je l'ai pas vu. On m'avait dit que vous aviez gagné.
En français, s'il vous plaît.
Yeah.
Hang on. I reckon you're onto something. Can we see if we're testing our team out there. Let's get the first question from both interviews. I reckon that might be the same journo.
It could be.
Yeah, you know what? Now I'm thinking it's deliberate.
Let's have a listen to...
He's a bloody evil genius who's putting together some sort of a compilation.
See if we can cobble together and we can just listen to the voice of that journo.
Thomas, how do you feel after that match? No. You feel good, in good shape going into the quarterfinals?
Okay,
that's the first
voice.
No.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I lost.
You lost?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
So...
No, different. Oh, close.
If it was the same one, then you would think it is deliberate.
It'd be fatwas
going
on then.
It would not be
TP would be having a fatwa on him.
But at least he owned up that he hadn't watched a single second of it. Someone told him he'd won.
Do you know if someone's put a fatwa on you?
I do know a tennis reporter. I won't name him.
You will eventually know.
When I went to Wimbledon back in 2009, a well-known tennis reporter used to wander in about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Uh-oh.
And he'd just sort of go to the sheets.
Right. Okay.
6-2, 6-1, 6-3. Right. Yep. Voice or a little 30-seconder. Okay. X amount of 1-1-1. Packed his suitcase. Went home. Didn't watch a ball of tennis. And I said to somebody, "Does he do this at every tournament?" Oh yeah.
Really?
Been covering tennis for about 30 years and doesn't watch anything.
Wow.
One man is well known, Rich, at the Australian Open for reading about three or four novels during the tournament.
See, that's what I would do at the tennis.
Phone rings, quick 30-seconder for whatever station, just bangs it out. Done, back to the novel. We'll take a break.
Oh, we need some names in the ad break.
We need some bloody names.
I call Bulldust. That is next here on Halftime. Subwoofer King, mate.
King on the street. We call Bulldust.
We call Bulldust.
Bulldust.
I call Bulldust on
the No, Bulldust.
Bulldust. They're calling Bulldust on this.
I call it Bulldust.
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 Dusty, Dusty, Dusty.
Oh, yes. What are you involved? 9429 1116. I call Bulldust. We've got a lot of callers about to join us. A lot of good prizes to give away, as always. Richo and Rita will give their own I call Bulldust. It's a good little segment. I always enjoy this driving around the car.
Well, the reality is that the Persian princess has normally got a fair bit of Bulldust. Have you got one straight off the top?
I've got plenty, but you go first.
What have you got? What have you got? Hang on. What do you have three topics for?
I haven't done any of the topics because I want to keep it fresh. I want to say, I don't want to sort of go over any grounds that we cover in What's Up with Bulldust segments.
So Flipper, what this is just code for I haven't done any of my homework. I mean, she's got one job. She's got one job to do. Three points. Bring them to the table on a Friday.
I'm going to call some Bulldust, okay? I'm going to kick off proceedings.
Okay.
This building, this saucy skyscraper, I don't know if you've seen it in the papers earlier this week, this Melbourne developer has built a building based on Beyoncé's body.
Right.
Oh, hang on. Where? I haven't seen it.
It's even made the news in here. I'll show you. In the States. There's a still from one of Beyoncé's video
games. Hang on, it hasn't been built yet.
But he wants to have this massive skyscraper. When you look at it, you just sort of think boobs and butt. And I'm thinking, is that too much titillation for the CBD?
I wouldn't have thought so.
What? So you like that Statue of David in Caroline Springs? That's been making all sorts of waves. I actually don't mind that one.
I haven't been to Caro Springs to see it. What are you?
There's this massive replica of the Statue of David in someone's front yard that you can see from streets away.
Which
and some of the neighbours are a little bit perturbed by the ghoulies being visible.
Oh, there's a sort of an emphasis on the ghoulie region.
There seems to be most of the objectors, which surprised me in this age, most of the people who were really upset about the statue, it wasn't, it's an eyesore, it doesn't, fit into the neighbourhood. It's all, you shouldn't be sort of pushing nudity into our face. It's like it's a replica of a great piece of art. Like, what's...
that's interesting, the emphasis on the ghoulie region.
Yeah, I'm surprised that people are still so sort of...
What about the gargoyles and horses and Acropolis of Tutgaruk, they're calling it in page 5 of the Herald Sun?
This is my favourite.
You need to get across
today.
This, Flipper. And the only reason this came across...
There's a lot happening there. There's a lot.
I can remember this house about 10 years ago because the house right next door in the frame stage was up for sale and my parents were looking to buy something. They went and inspected this and they looked across... It totally dominates... The landscape of Tutgaruk. I thought it was Rye, but I think that might be fancying it up. It'd been called Tutgaruk.
Well, he's been adding to it. So when your parents would there's now horses.
Oh, no, I didn't mention
that. There's sort of Roman and Greek.
They would have bought it
there.
If they had seen that the horses were going to go on.
And I love how you've got the satellite dish next to all these sort of ancient replicas,
What about just down in that article, Richard? 2011, a Park Orchards man chainsawed a 1.2-metre wood sculpture of a raised middle finger in his front yard as a message to his neighbours. That's magnificent.
That's have you got any neighbours like that who just...
No. I've got...
Oh, no, that wouldn't happen in, Leafy Malvern.
The leaf. No, we have outstanding neighbours. There's only one annoyance in the whole street.
Yes.
Is we've got a guy, God love him, who's, late in life, and he backs out his car.
Yeah.
Every single day and toots all the way down the driveway to let everyone know he's coming out. Now, we're far from a thoroughfare. there's not going to be, it's not like backing out in the middle of Collins Street.
Yeah.
Backing out, toot, 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 because there's thousands of pedestrians. We might have 4 pedestrians a year down that street.
He's decided this is like a truck.
All the way down.
Clearly not getting enough attention. 9429 1116, Julian in Leafy Malvern. Hi, Julian.
Yeah, how you doing, boys? Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to start off by calling Bulldust on anyone who says Melbourne have made any forward progress in the last 3 years. and that goes including post-Roos, since Roos has been down there trying to resurrect things.
What, you're saying they haven't made progress?
Absolutely none. And
that's
crazy. I highlight the statistic that I don't know whether you guys are even aware of.
Or talk to us.
Because it seems a lot of Melbourne supporters aren't. They have not won consecutive games since round 13 and 14, 2011.
Yep.
So I'd also like to know if that itself is a record.
Hang on, Julian. Do you think at the moment, July 10, 2015, your team is better? You're a Melbourne supporter, obviously.
No, Richmond.
Oh, you're Richmond. The Melbourne team, July 10, 2015, that team that's going to run on the park against Essendon this weekend, is that a better team than what they had 3 years ago?
In some respects, yes.
Well, that's progress.
This is a results-orientated business, and it's win-loss at the end of the day.
Has to transfer. So they've got to finish off the season on a good note. So 1-4 last year. If they lose to Essendon tomorrow,
hang on.
Which could happen, because they've been inconsistent, so they look better on paper.
They've
got
four wins already.
To transfer it to wins.
You can't say it's not progress.
Yeah, but they need to get to 7 or 8. They can't just the season can't just meander and...
I don't think it will meander. Surely they've made progress, Flip. Made progress.
I hope so.
It might only be small progress, but there has been progress.
They've beaten Geelong at Geelong a couple of weeks ago. One of the great victories. And they put in really three limp quarters.
But look at their list, actually, they have cobbled together a quality young list that you could imagine will go places.
Hopefully.
Who's got a better list at the moment? Melbourne, St Kilda.
Yep.
I would say St Kilda. Who's got a better list? Melbourne, Carlton. For the future.
That's a hard question.
I reckon Melbourne has got a better list for... Yep. Melbourne is better placed in 2015 for... a chance to be relevant in 2019 than the Blue Baggers have, surely.
There's something that always holds the Demons back, though. This is culturally for a long, long time. So I hope they do kick on, but every time they take one little step forward, it's sort of two or three steps back. But we'll wait and see. Thank you, Julian. I call Bulldust, 94291116. Ron in Ferntree Gully. Ron?
Yeah, I call Bulldust on false advertising. I don't know whether you got a copy of Today's Age there. But ISIS are now using images of them selling ice cream to help recruit young men. And I reckon that's bulldust.
Is that true? This is your area, Princess, close to your former hood.
I haven't seen it. Show me the article.
This is your former hood. You know what's going on over there.
Are you sitting on an age there? What's that?
No. Don't you?
She uses.
I was using it to rest my phone on. What page are we talking about?
What page, Ron?
It's in the section that talks about the world, about page 9 or 10 or 11.
The world.
Oh, that's not our area, Flip. Just chat amongst ourselves here. World. ISIS. Here we go. Ice creams.
Ice creams.
Is it Dairy Bell?
You wouldn't put that in the same sentence.
Here we go.
Really,
ice
here we go.
And
ice cream.
The soft cell, secure electricity, and ice cream.
Okay, we're not going to sit while you read the whole article. We'll just have that. Give her some homework. Thanks, Ron.
Well, you know what? I mean, Islamic State is very sophisticated in their use of all sorts of media, and they've got a online magazine which is quite. They actually have got one of their captives who's a Western journalist writing for their online magazine, and this is where they justify all their, you know, hideous crimes, where they sort of say, oh, you know, well, enslaving girls is okay because, you know, they've read it somewhere. They use all sorts of social media and multimedia. And, yeah, so this isn't a
surprise
me. You write
across this stuff, Flip?
I'm learning. I'm jotting everything down as we speak. Pete in Glen Iris wants to call Bulldust. Hi, Peter.
Islamic
Hi,
hoop.
Guys. I want to call Bulldust on Leighton Hewitt. He's obviously setting up to play the doubles in the Davis Cups quarterfinal in Darwin.
Right.
And here's young John Pearce in the Wimbledon final, may win it, can't get in, Leighton, let it go, be captain, non-playing.
Yeah. Hang on, is that true? Is that
You're thinking he's going to be a liability, Pete?
Oh, yeah, I think he's passed it. He can't do a 5-set, he'll lose it. That's what's happening.
Is that
he's
fair,
old.
Flip? Who's John Pearce? John Pearce, tell
us. Well, he's made the final
of the
Wimbledon doubles.
Yeah,
from
with
Melbourne,
who?
Jamie Murray, Andy Murray's brother. We interviewed him 2 nights ago here on the First Serve. Great fella.
How
special comments with us at the Australian Open.
How old is he?
Mid-20s.
Well, who would you pick, if you're Davis Cup captain, who would you pick as our doubles combination up in Darwin?
You've got to let Leighton just see out the year. This is, if we could finish.
No, forget sentiment.
But I reckon
who's our best team?
Well, John, if he wins Wimbledon, he puts himself into another level. But
is he our best two?
Well,
he's sort of.
We know his results, but we hardly see John Peers. I mean, I haven't actually never seen him play physically. So we've had him doing special comments for us. He watched a bit of vision, but right. Never seen him live because he's tucked away on the other side of the world.
That, like, you know, if Leighton was focusing on doubles, would he be more likely to win Wimbledon doubles?
Well, he got bundled out first round, Leighton, so he's had plenty of time.
No, I'm talking about doubles. I mean, how many of those doubles?
With Kokkinakis.
Yeah, with the cock.
Mm. Yeah, but don't they don't take it seriously. They don't just do it as a bit of fitness.
If you get bundled out in round one of the singles, then you've got nothing but to do that.
I reckon we've got enough good singles cover that'll... You got to, Leighton, you've got to let him get through. Because if we beat Kazakhstan, we're in a semi-final at
home. Oh, the power
home.
Of Kazakhstan.
Exactly. Mikhail Kukushkin.
Can we beat the Kazakhs?
Throwing around names
great
now.
Players.
So then we have a semi-final at home versus...
Depends on other results. So I think it could be the Italians.
Oh,
those. Possibly.
Oh,
so
that'd be fun. We should play that up in Mildura. There's so many Italians there. It would be very, very...
Mildura?
Exactly. Yes.
It's been their highlight. The potato patch up at Mildura.
Really? I thought they were Wangaratta.
Remember the scud?
Well, the tobacco farm.
Pulled out. We'll take a break. More of Casual Friday coming up with Rita and Richo. A bit more I call bulldust, Rita.
Well, I've got an atomic one. We don't throw that word around willy-nilly, but every now and then... something happens that needs to be called out.
What about the pause?
What are you referring
having?
To? Well, atomic. A burn atomic.
Not a burn atomic.
No, not a burn atomic.
No, this is I mean, English is their second language.
It is. Don't be racial. I'll get the Kyrgios family onto you. I mean, the whole family, the mum, the brother.
Mum,
the whole
what's the mum doing?
Gentle. She was on Sunrise yesterday and going to bed for Nick.
The whole family's doing media now.
She didn't enjoy old Dawny, did she?
No.
You know what? I think I'm going to do a bit of old Dawn in what's
please.
Up.
Come on, Dawn.
But no, my atomic bulldust is all about one of my great loves, Tim Tams. Because for months now, well, weeks I should say, I've been looking forward to the peanut butter Tim Tams because I thought this is going to be the pinnacle of the Tim Tam family.
What? Peanut butter?
Because peanut butter and chocolate together are magic and we don't get that much of it. Like if you like Reese cups and it's an American thing. It's beautiful. It works. It's like just certain flavours go together.
Don't you get all clagged up?
And it's delicious.
Really?
So I finally got me a packet of... I got me a packet of peanut butter Tim Tams.
Really?
And I was like, here we go.
This is good.
Fantastic.
Here we go.
And I don't normally do this. Well, before I had a bite, I don't know why, but I sort of just looked at the ingredients, something I don't typically do.
Sure, no.
There was something missing.
What was it?
Peanuts. There are no peanuts in peanut butter Tim Tams.
Garbage.
I mean, what are they playing at?
Are you sure?
Yeah, it said may contain traces of nuts, which is what they put on all confectionery.
Do you know how to spell peanut?
I do. It's actually one word, not two. That threw me for ages. I used to hyphenate it and everything. No, seriously, there is no peanuts in peanut butter Tim Tams. I'm calling atomic bulldust on the top. Allen's? Who does Tim Tams?
It's not Allen's.
Arnott's.
Arnott's. Tell us. Come on.
Don't go selling peanut butter products
that
without peanuts.
That can't be true.
It's true. I refuse to eat them because, I mean, what
so
is
did
it?
You eat it?
No.
Hang on.
I'm not
you
eating.
Read it and you saw no peanuts, so you haven't had a bite. You look at me in the eye.
I had maybe one bite.
There.
But it wasn't
and what
good.
Was it like?
It wasn't nice.
What was it missing?
Peanuts.
Thank you.
but why would they do that? I mean, I know there's the nut allergy issue, but clearly people who've got nut allergies aren't going to be buying peanut butter Tim Tams.
They don't buy peanut butter M&Ms.
Mm. Yeah, or Snickers bars, all the other sort of peanut-related confectionery that's out
there.
I'm
not a combiner. I like things as separate. I don't like combining.
Hang on. So
I'm not a combiner.
I don't know. We've got an Arnott's man on the phone. We've got an Arnott's ex-employee.
Do we?
Jeremy in Escobar Vale. Jeremy.
Here we go. Inside.
Jeremy. Yes, hello. My name is Jeremy. I'd like to let you know that the main reason why they did it was for kids and nut allergies. If you're serving them at a party and a kid eats one, we could have a problem of going to hospital.
Jeremy,
I call bulldust on your explanation.
That is garbage.
And on your accent.
The
and
accent
on your voice.
Stinks.
On the whole, everything you've brought to the show. I cop that's the official company line, but nonsense. There is all sorts of confectionery that contains peanuts. And, you know, everyone's aware of peanut allergies, the parents, the kids, you know, a kid who's got a peanut allergy isn't going to be given a peanut butter Tim Tam.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. No. Jeremy, surely that's That's garbage you've just brought to the table.
Yeah, that's as bulldust as Bob, who called us earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And I was on with Moons.
What did Bob say?
He said, Richo can't coach at St Kilda, got no game plan, doesn't know what he's doing, can't develop players. He was just stirring us up, I reckon.
Bob's a fool.
He sat back and kicked back for the day and thought, how good's this? I've just stirred the pot.
Someone on an SMS has said, so you're telling me there's no turkeys in Turkish Delight?
We'll be back with more in a moment. Welcome back to Casual Friday. Brett Phillips in for half. He'll be back in the chair on Monday. Done a great job with Kingy on the Morning Glory.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed them.
Good combination.
Fantastic. Kingy's very insightful.
Absolutely.
And funny.
Yeah, and so is half.
Oh, well. That goes without saying.
You don't want to pump him up too
much. I don't want to pump up my friend too much.
9429 1116. What's that with Rita coming up very shortly?
As soon as it's done.
Just putting the finishing
what
touches.
What do you mean? Hurry up.
Speak. Should have done last night, but that's okay.
Thank you.
Well, no.
See, Flipper. It's hasn't taken long. He's taken the captain's role very seriously. That's good.
How about this from Jake? My 8-year-old son just told me that there's also no cats in Kit Kats. School holidays. Gotta love them.
And it's misspelt. Deliberately, I believe.
Well done, Jakey. Well done, Jakey, indeed. Surely we've got a prize for Jake. Call in. Give that young man, give the 8-year-old son something. Something.
Yeah. Jake, give us a call. Where can we actually send Jake? I'll tell you what we've got. Would the cocoa hydrate get our well with Jake?
Don't know.
Might be something you could store away.
What
for
have
a few
we got?
Years,
yeah, store it away.
Don't know if you need the Elmore. If you're 8 and you wouldn't need the Elmore oil pack, you'd think of
no,
eight.
No, no, no.
Feeling sprightly.
What else?
If you like your meat, Jake?
No, I don't reckon
Gary's
Jake,
quality meats, no? New York, he'd love a burger, Richo.
He'd love a burger.
The next minute.
Jake, you take your young son along there, I reckon. That'd be fantastic.
Give us a call, 9429 1116.
Hey, cricket, I was watching it. Yep. Got a nice start, didn't we? What about Rogers?
Yeah.
What a bloody beauty.
Loves it in England.
He loves it in England.
Cover drives.
He's just so... this is called padding while Rita gets her stuff together over there, because I know that... As soon as
but I'm kind of interested in the conversation, so I've stopped writing.
What was that? Was that 7th? 50 in a row? I think it's some amazing
it's
stat.
Like that,
he was creating a record last night by a 7th 50, test 50 in succession.
Record pace. He doesn't usually go that quick. 95 of 133 last
Warner,
night.
Warner. For those who haven't seen the latest score, certainly advantage England.
Yep. 160 in front.
160 in front. Now, this is the moment. He's 20-something not out, Shane Watson. This is the moment. That was a huge call by the selectors to say, no Mitch Marsh. We will go with Shane Watson as our all-rounder. Mm. He hardly bowled. Mm. 8 overs. Mm. Next to nothing. So therefore, this is the moment where he's got to deliver with the bat.
No doubt about it, Richo. Sometimes he's
done.
Just got to stand up in life.
That's right.
Oh, just get the job done.
Is that what we tell the Cobras? Just stand up.
Just stand up. Get the job done.
Did you guys see, can we talk about last night,
here we go.
My favourite part of the Ashes so far? The hit to the Ghoulies.
Oh, yeah.
How good was that? Oh.
You're preoccupied with the Ghoulies today, aren't you?
No, it was just fun.
It was fun.
But you know what was the funniest thing? And if you have a look at the footage or even some of the stills from
for those
the
who don't know, Alistair Cook got Mr. Cash, went straight in the Ghoulies.
Misjudged one.
Yeah. Right in there.
That had hurt too, 130
all his teammates and the ump just standing around laughing. And sort of trying to not laugh and trying to look concerned, but still smiling.
Because you know,
the
never...
eyes are smiling. It's just because I thought you blokes would have a bit more sympathy for the dude. I thought it was only women who laughed at that, but all the teammates were just smirking.
You know what? It is extremely funny for everyone that's not involved, which is the one person, and every one of us have copped it.
Yeah.
And every one of us put ourselves in that position and feel sick, but therefore we laugh at because that's what we do.
When I played junior cricket in the under-12s, I didn't actually realise you wore the box on the inside. So I went on the outside of the jocks and took off for a single and
lost it.
Just trickling down. Oh, right.
It's meant to go inside. Oh, that's uncomfortable. Okay. But you don't wear one in first slip.
No.
So that'd hurt. That's 130
Maybe
k's.
Maybe on certain wickets you should. It could
130
be dangerous.
K's snick straight through into the Ghoulies. Mm. I mean, that can break it.
Yep.
Well,
that can could cause damage that can never be recovered.
Well, there was a football injury recently where there was a tear in that area, wasn't there? There was this season. I'm trying to remember who.
This is bringing tears to mind.
Someone off the SMS will remind us, but there was an actual tear.
130 k's, a cricket ball which is like concrete, travelling straight in there. I mean, that, he's
has
out
he
of
already had children? Has he?
He's out of action for a long time. I just wouldn't get that thing moving at all. Just leave it.
Can you use the magic spray in that area? Will that make it worse?
Can't help. It can't possibly hurt, I reckon. All right, I just, everything just.
I used to have a kid when I was coaching junior footy. You just love coming off. Just love coming off.
And then good to go.
Loved it. Then he grabbed the magnet ball. Coach, can I make a couple of moves? No, you're the player. Get back on the ground. Toughen up. You're right to go?
Are you ready?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, here we go. What's up with Rita? Stop, ball, back it up
now. Let me see your hips. If you haven't read her column or her blog, if you haven't seen her on TV and you don't follow her on Twitter, well, now's your chance to find out what's up with Rita.
What's up with Nick Kyrgios demanding that we respect him? It's a little rich for Australia's latest tennis vlog to be lecturing fans. How about he show a little respect to the tennis umps he routinely abuses? Respect can't be demanded, it must be earned. Let's just hope Kyrgios wakes up to himself. Or soon he'll be just another Tomic, universally derided and disliked. What's up with Dawn Fraser being accused of launching, and I quote, a vile racist attack? Must we be hypersensitive all the time? We can condemn her ridiculous, bigoted statement without getting hysterical. Dawn is prone to saying all sorts of silly stuff, but to label her a vile racist is a tad much. And finally, what's up with 60 Minutes doing a hatchet job on Cameron Smith? Their reporting to Alex McKinnon was inspirational, heart-wrenching stuff. It gave a real insight into what McKinnon and his family and fiancé have endured. But that was not enough. For some reason, 60 Minutes then engaged in a shameful character assassination of Cameron Smith, portraying the Melbourne Storm captain as a callous bastard who didn't give a stuff about McKinnon. The fact that 60 Minutes didn't give Smith the opportunity to respond says plenty. Join me next week for What's Up with me, Rita Panahi.
Just a little freestyle version was outstanding.
It was just a little bit of ad-libbing.
Wow, well, haven't you gone to the next level now that Rupert's sort of given you some training? Fantastic stuff.
Nick Kyrgios, Dawn Fraser, Cam Smith.
Yeah.
Let's have a little listen to the audio just of 60 Minutes last Sunday night.
Well, that's the Australian captain there, so well done.
Has Cameron Smith contacted you?
No. I don't know whether he's tried to make contact through Anthony Quinn or the club, but sure enough, Jordan McLean could make contact. But I haven't had anything from him.
Does that still make you angry?
Not really. Just reassures the type of person that he is.
Gee, to put that into perspective, Liz, and that is the key part of the audio, Liz actually played vision and audio of Cameron Smith arguing with the umpire, and she was making the point that here you are, you've been injured for 8 minutes, and Cameron Smith still arguing with the umpire. Whereas the reality was he did not say a word for 7.5 of those minutes. Yeah. And then once Alex was making his way off, he was discussing the fact that there are three other tackles, similar tackles, there'd been no penalty. Why was there a penalty on this one? Mm. And the umpire gave the explanation and off, carry on. Now,
and
what it's been.
He didn't know. He knew he was badly injured, but that none of them knew none of the them, extent no. of the injury.
Of course not.
Of course, you know.
But what has been fascinating on Facebook and the like is New South Wales players sending around and retweeting and forwarding links saying this is the actual reality and leave Cameron Smith alone. You know, Paul Gallen and the likes, people who you would think that would be, you know, who would be saying, hang on, you know, this is, you know, that, yeah, this is the lead up to the State of Origin. So if ever they were going to use that, but they were like to a man saying this is total misrepresentation. So as a response, Cam Smith, after they've cleaned the Blues out with a State of Origin, an unbelievable one-sided win, just refused to speak to Channel 9. And you can't blame him for that.
Well, it's just the fact that you would do, because it was a big part of the story. You know, it wasn't just a throwaway line. It was a big focus. It was part of their promotion of the story. And they did not go to him and seek a response. It's just what you do. If you're going to, you know, say something and make these sort of claims of this nature about anybody, you give them the opportunity to say, well, actually, this is what happened. Mm. And even when Alex gave the answers there, he said, you know, as far as I know, he didn't do this. I'm not sure. You know, he doesn't know with
he
any certainty.
Know.
And Melbourne Storm did put out a statement sort of clarifying, you know, Cameron did try to visit in hospital.
He and he couldn't. Actually led a fundraiser
he
for him.
He raised money, you know, all the stuff that that – and they just didn't seek it. And it's just, you know – and the thing is, the story by itself was a wonderful story. I don't know why they sort of cheapened it by bringing this sort of grubby and character assassination in there.
And
there
it disrespected Alex as well, because it put him in a position where he then got angry going, well, that's – yeah, you know, because he was presented what he believed was the facts. So now there's been an outrage actually against Alex MacKinnon. I mean,
which
he's
is
the
terrible.
Victim.
Yeah. He is now copying it from, you know, sort of enraged Cameron Smith fans who really should know better. I mean, really pull your heads in. This is a guy who's, you know, going through a struggle no one can understand unless you've been through it. And they're trolling him with all sorts of disgusting messages on his Instagram and on his Twitter page. Because of this. I mean, direct your anger at 60 Minutes or, you know, whoever's put the story together.
Is 60 Minutes outsourced? Is that not part of the whole Channel 9 family? Because I can't believe David Gingell and these guys would have signed off on that, knowing that their Blue Riband product is, and the number one rating is NRL, and 9 covers it. Cameron Smith's an iconic part of the team. They're going to require a lot of interaction with him, the 9 network. Is 60 Minutes done by a separate production
think so.
Company?
I mean, if you listen to the conspiracy theories, you know, it was done and that whole Cameron Smith angle was introduced to build up the, you know, tension for the State of Origin. You know, they're saying, you know, it wasn't accidental, the timing of the story leading up to the Game 3. So that's one of the theories about, you know, why they took that angle. But it was just such a, you know, before that, it was actually just the most inspirational story, because this guy, you know, was so down and out and he wanted to die. Like, he was asking for them, you know, I don't want to live like this anymore. It's torture. And, you know, the recovery he's had already and, you know, what he helps to do in the future. Like, that's a beautiful story. I don't know why you would soil it by this nonsense.
Exactly. Cam Smith, Dawn Fraser, Nick Kyrgios getting a stack of SMSs. Tony at Frankston got a view on Nick Kyrgios on the back of Reader's say there. Hi, Tony.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Jason, you took my value from tomorrow to the first race at Flemington there, race 1, number 9. But anyway, that's okay.
Mahrez. Sorry, Tony, for doing that. I didn't mean to steal that of you.
Oh, that's all right, Jason. That's my best bet for the day. But anyway, there's an article in the Herald Sun today with Tom Elliott on page 15. I was reading at lunchtime about Nick Kyrgios, really, so it's a good point you bring up. Right, I actually umpire local footy down the morning to Peninsula League. Yeah, I umpired down the Mornington Peninsula League. Now, there's a team down the Mornington Peninsula that wears the same colours as a Victorian side that played last night in Adelaide, but I won't say what colours they are. I just don't want to umpire them anymore. For years they've called me a cheat, they've sworn at me, they abused me. So, it's just wish we could boycott some of these people and just show them how important umpires are to the games, not just in tennis, but in basketball, in football, in everything, because without the umpires, there's no games, and just some of these people need to pull their heads in because they're not as good as they think they are sometimes, you know?
Yeah, no, great point, Tone, and we know how hard it is for AFL football, for example, to attract officials, umpires, so that's why, you know, the respect towards the officials is so important. But, you know, the interesting thing about Kyrgios, the more and more I thought about it, the person he disrespected the most throughout that whole I don't care and I'm fighting with the umpire and therefore I'm going to tank a point was actually Richard Gasquet. He so disrespected his opponent who was playing at the elite level at Wimbledon. He disrespected him by not trying against him. That would have just that should be the thing that irritates, hopefully, the other players in the locker room.
Well, 24 hours earlier, Richard Gasquet was paying him the greatest compliments.
Correct.
Terrific young guy, engaging, just gets a bit of white line
fever.
I
want to ask you about that, because it was a piece that was in the paper yesterday or the day before, not local, internationally, about just how disliked Kyrgios is amongst the international tennis community. Have you seen or heard much about that?
No, I think Andy Murray's gone into bat for him, Reader, and I know he, like a lot of
he's young.
Yeah.
Excuse is only going to wear for so long. Like, you know, he's 20, well, 21 now. Like,
20,
he needs to, you know, he's representing not only himself, and I know tennis is an individual game, but he is representing Australia. I mean, you know, that's why we're talking about him. That's why we care what happens with
him. But we shouldn't I think we should be careful and not overdo it. I mean, yes, he was disrespectful to Gasquet. He let himself down by not trying and carrying on.
And it's the whole umpire stuff, you know, saying to the umpire, you know, look at you sitting up there, you think you're special.
Yeah. I just want him to play tennis. I've had my say on it all.
We understand it's been frustrating. And he needs to surround himself with people who are actually going to hold him to account, not surround himself with yes people.
It doesn't sound like it's happening because everyone around him, and you can understand their family members, seems to just be making excuse after excuse. Mm. And at some point, you got to say, yeah, carrying on like a flog, cut it out.
Well, particularly if you start losing more matches than you win and you're not fulfilling your talent, that's when the conversation's got to start. Because this kid can do things that some others can't.
But how much is he costing himself in, say, endorsements by the sort of image that he's now
Well, the big
together?
Headphones company that sponsor him, I think they're loving it. Isn't their slogan something along the lines of, you know, I'll do it my way? Or
And the reality,
oh, okay, like so yeah.
and the reality is with Generation Next, you know, they love that sort of stuff. So it's probably enhancing his endorsements, which is a sad state of affairs.
Casual Friday here on Halftime. More coming up 9429 1116. Studio looks slightly vacant.
What's happened?
What's happened, Richard?
Where's she gone?
Missing the third wheel.
Are we just come and go sort of type scenario?
She only paid for an hour and a half. That's it. Done.
I don't know if she gets paid at all, actually. SMSs. This from Andrew. Rita and boys, that's complete crap. Cam Smith argued with the ref and blamed McKinnon for the tackle. That's bull dust. I don't think anyone's arguing with that. Please have the guts to read this out. Oh, that wasn't, it wasn't that hard, was
no.
it? Thanks, Andrew.
But you know what? You can, if you want to condemn Smith for any reason, go right ahead. But give him the opportunity to respond. That
Correct.
Was my objection with the way they did the story. Say whatever you like. You know, say he's a bloody disgrace. He's callous. He doesn't give a stuff about anybody. But then go to him and say, why are you callous and don't give a stuff about anybody? Yeah. And let him give his point of view.
That's exactly right. You know, be fair.
Journalism 101.
Mecca's head on the road. Welcome, Mecca. Mecca. Hello,
Macca. Turn your radio off, Macca. Macca. Oh, you know what? You've ruined it for everyone.
Failed talk back school. It's almost impossible to fail.
Look at your mum. Look what you've done.
6 seconds. Yeah.
You know what? I'm not even angry. I'm disappointed.
I know. And you know what? I expect better from Macca.
I know.
He's ruined it for everyone.
I've been disappointed a lot this week. It's been one of those weeks. I've been continuously let down by
You've
the Maccas of this
times.
World.
You've said it a few times. Anything you want to reveal?
No. It's just been a week where disappointment.
I heard there's big news bubbling.
Big news?
Mm. Have you got something?
News.
Can you tease us?
No. I'm
tease
not
us!
I'm not a teaser. I deliver.
Wow, we didn't need that insight. Okay, right. It's a little bit more information than we needed. Okay, so
can you please get your mind out of the gutter? Not
it's
everything
not in
is
the
about
gutter.
That. Well, it seems to be because I can't say anything without some sort of sly insinuation.
It's not. I don't know what you're insinuating what... that I'm insinuating. What conclusions have you jumped to?
And I want to know what it is.
Hey, what about the? We jump on once a week, so apologies for a topic that's been absolutely done to death. But the sling tackle, I've been really amused listening to Kevin Bartlett and his very sarcastic approach to that about the sling tackle, Jay Schultz and the two actions. You know, the one thing that I have not heard one commentator actually say in regards to the difference between the two, actually to make it even more of a reason why Jay Schultz should have been in the same boat, at least in Bryce Gibbs's one, the guy still had the ball.
Mm.
Bryce was actually tackling a guy with the ball and still had the guy, as he was taken to the ground, the ball was still involved. In the Jay Schultz one, the ball actually spilt free for the second part of the tackle, if you like. Just to add more weight to surely it had to be given, treated the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear Nathan Buckley and you hear all the footballers at the elite level saying, oh, I'm confused, we don't know what to do. Oh, it's the most staggering decision that I've seen.
It's just, really? Wait a week. I mean, isn't that just part and parcel of MRP Lotto? They're just
It's not MRP Lotto.
Aren't they just continuously...
Hang on, is half involved in that? He's involved to other when they appeal against that, then they go to the likes of the half.
Yep.
They go all the way up to the top of the totem pole.
That's it.
That's right.
The final call.
The big shorts gets involved.
He's the court of arbitration.
That's right.
It's our game, isn't it? I mean, it's never going to change, Richo, in terms of the grayness in it and interpretation, and it's never quite. And that's part of the uniqueness of it, I suppose. Whereas other sports, it's black, white. This is the rule. And
but the players at the Cobras that you're involved with, would they be aware of what they can and can't do now in that sort of an area?
No, they'd be confused.
Of course they would be.
Yeah, because if you're in the thick heat of the moment, you love to tackle.
That's right.
Because you want to get the ball back in your hands.
Yeah. So you tackle, and now you've got to be letting go really quick. So that's what I'm saying with Bryce Gibbs' scenario. So you've got to be letting go real quick, but then he wouldn't like to let go because the bloke's got the ball.
Exactly. So until it's back in your hands, you don't want to take the risk of the tackle.
Whereas Jay Schultz, I would argue, as soon as the ball spilt free, should have let go, adding more weight to the fact that that should have been treated the same way. Anyway, it's a topic that's been done to death, I understand, but by gee, it's confusing.
It is. 94291116, if you want to join us here on Casual Friday. Anything you want to put on the table, what's up with Reg? She's brought up, of course, the situation with Cam Smith, Dawn Fraser.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Dawn.
Nick Kyrgios.
Can we just put that down to a lady in her late 70s?
But that's the thing. She
saying
says,
a lot of people sort of think at that age.
You know what? The words, she shouldn't have said it. No one's defending what she said. It was a stupid thing to say. But from just, you know, it seems to be with people these days and this tendency just to be perpetually offended. But you can't just be a little offended. You can't just be say, you know, if you've got a scale of 0 to 100, it's 20. You've got to be 100 or 0. Like, if you're offended, she's either okay or she's a vile racist attacking. Like, for God's sakes, she's a 77-year-old woman on live television who said something stupid. But, you know, to label her, like, if she's, you know, leading the KKK down.
Yeah, but she did say a racist comment.
Oh, it's a bigger comment to say, you know, maybe they want to go play for their parents' home country. I wonder if she was thinking about the whole Dokic scenario and that was happening. Because, she went back and played for her father's
Nick
country.
Nick Kyrgios has never, and Bernard Tomic, why did it actually get to that point?
Nick's
they haven't
parents.
Said that they, I mean, Tomic was obviously spraying Tennis Australia, but Kyrgios hasn't.
No.
I don't know if she actually mentioned Tomic even by name. I think Tomic's been thrown in there. Just
well, Tomic has to be the basis of it because he's the one that's had the fight against City Hall in regards to Tennis Australia. So,
but I think it's more really the fact that, you know, these two supremely talented youngsters who the whole country should be getting behind, they're actually not. People are barricading for their opponents.
Down.
You know, we've finally got a couple of, you know, tennis players who are, you know, potentially top five players, particularly Kyrgios.
Give tennis a hard.
Between Leighton's peak and now, it's been a few years.
It's been a slog.
Hang on, did Leighton win a major after Pat Rafter?
2001 was Wimbledon.
It's been a few years.
Leighton.
The US Open was the year after, I think, 2002.
Was this Pat are you talking about, or is this Leighton?
Leighton.
Yeah, what about Pat?
You're trying to think of Pat's US.
When was Pat? So it was before Leighton, was
it?
It
had to be.
Yeah, and then we've had Sammy Stosas. We've only got 20 million people. We're fine, all right.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
Put them up.
Well, the men are doing it right now.
Even willing to overlook some, you know, shortcomings. But these two, particularly Kyrgios at the moment, and Tomic, they just make it so hard to like them. I barrack for their opponents, and I don't want to.
It's a fascinating
world.
And
the fanatics don't help.
The tennis world is. Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole show just on inside the world of tennis, the bubble. Oh. When you're down at Melbourne Park, you just see things, you observe, and it's not quite real.
Mate, I want to do a reality TV show that I've been pitching to networks.
Yep.
I want to do it on swim mums, gym mums, tennis mums.
Oh, yeah. Tennis dads.
Some classic stuff there.
It's some good footage.
Oh, there's some good stuff
and
going on.
I reckon tennis, the
real
pick
junior
there,
level that we're
because
seeing.
At least with swimming and some of those other ones, the money's not in there. With tennis, you throw in money with ego and everything
everyone
else.
Jumps on.
And
wants
then the nuttiness just goes through.
Hilarious stuff.
Casual Friday. More calls after the break. 94291116. Jump on. Richo's here. Rita as well. Tim's in St Kilda. He's joined us. Hi, Tim.
G'day there, guys. Rita, quick inquiry. If you saw the interview and the Stefanovic and crew of Today Show, they're sitting there going to Dawn, oh, so lovely to have you on the show. Oh, you're in Noosa, da-da-da. They didn't sit there and say, slam it down the throat. What you're saying is controversial and racist, and be careful what you have to say. They were just like, you know, watching some school kid getting bullied on in the school and just watching it and saying nothing about it.
Well, no, I don't know about that. I mean, I think the reaction of the host says something, because if she'd said something that was so hideously horrible and wrong, the hosts typically respond, you know, and they probably would ask a follow-up question in that area just to get a bit more out of it. But the host didn't respond. And, yeah, sometimes when you read something on paper, you know, it reads a little bit more harshly than when it's spoken. But I'm not defending her comments. I'm saying what she said was plainly stupid and unnecessary, ill-considered, call it what you will, and racist, bigoted, whatever. But to just, you know, the way she was attacked after that, as a 77-year-old woman being called, you know, a vile racist, it's just a bit too much, you know, just degrees. You know, yeah. You can be a little bit upset without, you know, yeah, completely losing your mind.
It'd be interesting to know if Carl, now that with retrospect, it's hard when you're actually hosting and he's got a producer in his ear and he's listening to Dawn at the same time he's thinking about what he's next going to be throwing to, all that.
Well, this was his follow-up.
If they don't like it, go back to where their fathers or their parents came from. You know, we don't need them here in this country to act like that.
You know, and I think you make a good point too about people paying really good money to go and see them courtside.
So he went to a different, he just ignored the comment, went totally to a different one.
The funny thing is, she was on there to talk about asthma. she wasn't brought on to talk about, you know, misbehaving tennis players as a former sporting great. It was sort of a, you know, it was an additional question.
So that was in response to Bernard Tomic having a crack at Tennis Australia and not getting funding. Sure, has he earned in excess of $4 million?
It's around about that. I think three. I think he's earned.
Why? I'm not yeah, privy
why are we
to
funding.
Yeah,
players.
I'm not privy to
millions?
What their whole system is in regards to Tennis Australia. But why would we even be considering funding those sort of guys?
It was just stupid from Bernard. And he's a really, look, I've said this a lot of times on SCN, he's a really likable kid, but his father is this parrot on his shoulder. And until Bernard has some sort of separation, this is going to go on and on and on. And, yeah, I feel like a bit of a broken record, but Sarah Tomic doesn't deserve the funding. And you've got to meet a certain criteria.
Absolutely.
They've come in a bit harder, Pat Rafter and co, and said, well, you've got to meet not only tennis criteria, you've got to be able to play, and she's not elite, but you've also got to behave yourself. And they look at all sorts of things. They're down at the academy there, their behaviour, their attitude, their punctuality, fitness.
Absolutely.
Whole range of things.
Fair and reasonable.
No different to any other sport. And John Tomic wants everything.
Why is John Tomic, after the whole drama that happened with the training partner, where, you know, the assault and the police and court action that followed, like, why is he even on the scene? Shouldn't he just be completely cut out from any sort of official capacity? I mean,
well, Rita, all we hear is that Bernard wants him. He wants him in his camp, which, you know, I don't know if Bernard's career is going to totally kick in. I know. That's
the
hard bit, isn't it?
That
we don't understand.
That doesn't Tennis Australia sort of have to, or not just Tennis Australia, but the governing body come in and say, no, you've done this. You've, you know, this is a, what did he do?
Well,
did he
paid
headbutt the bloke? Or?
Yeah, it's all the hotel because he brought the wrong milk back. Thomas Drew A.
Well, you know what? I mean, if I want skinny milk, I want bloody skinny milk.
You've got to get
that
stuff right.
I get angry if I get given skinny milk.
If I want full cream, I want full cream. Don't bring us the wrong stuff back. But it's his dad. So I can understand Bernard wanting his dad around. But what I don't understand is John Tomic, being a father, actually not saying, I'm actually not the best for my son. It's stop looking at himself, actually work out what's best for his son, think about others rather than himself.
They were doing such a good job too. The first 4 months, 5 months of this year, low key, I just couldn't stay out of the headlines. No, they were doing it such a good job.
He's not going to say that. Like, if he was going to say that, he wouldn't be a problem. Like, if he was that type of person,
know,
he was putting his son first, he wouldn't be a problem. He could travel around with him and you know, be his coach and
manager. When the golden child's an elite athlete, will you travel on the circuit with him?
Coordination is an issue. No.
Will you travel?
Well, I could probably
I could
like
see
it.
You enjoying that lifestyle.
Yeah,
sort of room service every night.
Front
sort
row
of.
On the players' box.
Enjoy my room service.
And then the golden child would make his way back in. Gee, Mum, I'm a bit tired. You go out and bloody practice because I want to stay in this lifestyle.
And like Orosim, if you get bored, just put on some really dark sunglasses.
And just have a nap.
Just nod off.
See, that's what I do at the movies when I see kids' films. But I finally saw a kids' film where I stayed awake throughout.
Let me tell you, I bet you it was inside and out.
It was.
Let's go to Tanya in Glen Waverley on Cam Smith. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, guys. I just want to say that I'm really sick and tired of all this anger and bitterness directed towards Cam. Yeah, it's horrible what happened to Alex. No one's disputing that, but it was simply an accident. And as far as I can tell, Cam's just doing his job as a captain. And I know exactly how Alex is feeling because 22 years ago when I was 19, I was involved in an accident as well, which left me a quadriplegic. And I know his struggles and what he's going through, but all this anger towards Cam from everyone, it's just horrible and shouldn't be happening. The guy's done nothing wrong.
And unfortunately for Tanya, when you were watching it, you could see Alex getting angry, but that's because Alex was presented with what he believed were the facts, and they were misrepresented.
It's true, but Alex probably would have known all that was going on beforehand, wouldn't he?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you've been in the position. I just can't imagine. I mean, surely it wouldn't have been the highest priority in his life.
Yeah, even if there is some angst or some sort of, you know, ill feeling towards Smith, there was no need to play on that and make that a focus of the story and then not give Smith an opportunity to respond. Like we said, the actual story of McKinnon and his, fight to, live a new life with his disability, like, that was a beautifully done story. Yeah. Like, why wasn't that enough? It would have rated through the roof as it was, because it was just a beautiful emotional tale of a really wonderful family who stuck together and, he's got this great attitude.
Yep. Tanya, nice call. Hang on there. Going to give you a couple of bottles of wine. One red, one white. Thanks to AR Property Investments, we sold the property investment puzzle for you. A little bit more coming up with Richo and Rita. A couple of late bulldust just arriving on the desk.
Oh, hello.
And Maxie in North Fitzroy is struggling with his streaming. It's dropping in and out. We're trying to fix it there. Maxie, stay with us, brother.
A lot
stick
of
with us.
On Friday. Every, so,
the sorry, way stick.
Quarter two. I call bulldust on the Bali volcano, due to fly it tomorrow.
Oh, just affecting a few.
It's volcanic ash, and I've got mates over there at the moment, and they can't get back. They've been told they're not going to get back until the 20th of July, which sounds fun, except for the fact that they start work on Monday.
Well, James Brayshaw was missing from the footy show because of the volcano.
So the kids are pumped.
Could be some other couple
They're good. They're good. It's just mum and dad are thinking,
oh my God. But I presume that the airline Do the airline fund them into hotels? They must do.
I don't think they do. I think
they
you have
do.
To. Then wouldn't you have to have travel insurance? I mean, it's a sort of an act of God. It's not an airline, it's not like a mechanical fault or.
And why can't we go through a cloud?
It affects the. It was the Qantas flight that flew to Indonesia.
Right. So what, it gets into the engines, does it?
Yes, I'm trying to talk.
Yeah, they're not being pressure. Because remember when Iceland was having a similar
issue. No, I'm not suggesting they're being pressure.
The entire sort of northern European
So what I'm hearing now down. They're going to recalibrate their route. So they're going to try to get out in, layman's terms, instead of turning left. They're going to go out and turn right and then go the long way around, go via the Hume Highway sort of thing to get in. So they might, stop at some various points to eventually get people back.
Mm. Well, I'm surprised that, they'll probably be putting on extra flights.
Yet another reason not to go to Bali.
James in Mentone with a late
bulldust.
Don't
do it.
James.
Hello, how are you?
Good, James.
Hello, Rita.
Hey, James.
Look, it's a very late pandemic bulldust. I was
pandemic.
Going to call it last. Pandemic. Oof. Is that a first?
I think it is.
Fantastic.
We've gone from atomic to pandemic.
Well, it's pandemic because, particularly across your radio station, you have any number of experts paid to give opinions on the Match Review panel. And not one of those experts, even a lawyer or Dermot Brereton who thinks he's a lawyer, ever actually sit down and look at the tribunal guidelines when they're analysing the Match Review panel decisions. And I'm not talking about the Gibbs-Schwartz one. I'm talking about the Franklin one, where, now, as a 250-game second division reserves footballer who used to pack three pairs of undies for every game, I thought that Franklin should get 6 weeks. But the fact of the matter is that the rule is that it wasn't intentional, and there's no way it could have been found intentional. And that's what we're dealing with.
Well, and you also had the Sydney
Dermot,
discount
Derek Humphrey-Smith and all of them to say, I don't understand why he didn't get intentional. Well, read the rule. It's really simple.
Yeah. Well, is that the problem? The fact that we've got these hard and fast rules where, perhaps each individual case should be looked on its own merits. I mean, that's what we had in the old system, and there was too much inconsistency. So that's why we've got this new system, but it doesn't seem to have eradicated.
The problem is it's not a system.
It's a... what is it then?
Well, it doesn't appear to be a system, does it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
It's not systematic.
No.
Well, yeah. There's
it's a problem with our game.
It's not easy.
No. It's too much grey, too much but interpretation. Just...
If they got it right, what would we be talking about? Let's look at the bright side. We want MRP just to stuff up continuously because it must be frustrating for the players and the coaches, but for us,
a lot of people SMSing saying apparently the ash goes into the engine and cuts up the inside and the engine stop.
Yeah, that's not
ideal. To which quote one of my good mates, David Gutley, that can't possibly help.
No.
That doesn't sound great, does it?
Well, Gabe Metalizer with an explanation there, Richo.
British Airways in 1982, they glided without engine power for 2.5 minutes before restarting the engines.
Yeah, that'd be nervous for you.
That's a shocking 2.5 minutes, though, isn't it?
I'm surprised, you know how I'm a cruise ship enthusiast.
Yeah.
How come
you haven't been on a cruise lately?
It's been since March, which is like a very long time.
Has Captain Steubing just cut the purse strings in that area?
No, I need to go on one stat. It's getting
is Gopher just said enough, or Julie? Was it Julie who just said go away?
But there are cruises that do that line. I mean, it would be quicker than waiting around till the 20th of July or whatever you mentioned. So I'm surprised there's no more.
So you're saying
ships
the airline's saying put this on an ocean liner? Hey, you're going to take us 10 days and you're going to go via every island on the way there. Knock yourself out. Have a great time, because they've got to get back to work on Monday.
Well,
what's that liner going to do?
It'll just come direct. It's not going to go island hopping. It'll just come direct from...
So what about all the people like you? Imagine you sitting there and they go, well, listen, we've got to take one for the team. I know you're enjoying this cruise. You're only up to day 5. We're going to go straight back to Melbourne. You'll be like, outrage.
Yeah, that's true. But surely there's a ship in dry dock somewhere that they can just, you know, it's sort of being... Those ships that get refurbished like once every 18 months. Surely there's one you can just put out there for the emergency journey.
Unfortunately, you're talking to Flipper and I who don't go on cruises all the time. We don't know what you're talking about.
You're missing out.
Mr. and Mrs. Phillips love their cruising.
Do they? Oh,
they're obsessed.
That is the popular demographic.
We've done New Zealand. They love New Zealand.
I've done New Zealand.
What do they love about it?
They did the Baltic Sea last year from Amsterdam up to Scandinavia.
Fabulous.
Do they get seasick?
They want to do Italy next year down the Adriatic Sea.
That is the one I want to do.
Everyone else is just chatting amongst ourselves.
Just meeting randoms.
It's fantastic. Randos.
Yeah.
You would love it.
Why would I love it?
Because you get to go to different places and just explore them in this sort of, you know, just mad rush of activity. And then you're back on the ship and you can relax. So it's sort of a busy, active holiday and a relaxing holiday all in one. You don't have to pick.
Claustrophobic.
Do you get a bit seasick?
I don't get seasick, no.
Not the big liners.
Yeah,
really?
The one I went to New Zealand on, they had an ice skating rink in there, you had rock climbing. There's no shortage of stuff to do on the ship, but I'm, you know, more interested in...
Can you talk to Captain Steubing for me? Just, I want to see a brochure.
Done.
We're your special race.
Flemington tomorrow for you, Richo.
I cannot wait for fabulous Flemington. It should be good. It's going to be wet, though.
Yeah. You'd be behind... Closed doors, you're
in. No, he's amongst the open.
Yeah, we're at our broadcast positions, and it's not in the unwashed, it's in the mounting yard of the members, but it's right in like this big wind tunnel. It's fantastic, just whooshing on through. So I'm going to be doing that. It's only going to be about, I think it's less than 100 days. I think it's around 100 days up to the Melbourne Cup. So in a blink of an eye, we'll suddenly be in...
Look at the eyes just light up.
Well, racing because time. We haven't talked much about racing today. And there's, a bit
Pete
of scuttlebutt.
Moody
about, yes, yes. That's not good news.
No, it's the 3 charges against Peter Moody for readings between 385 and 410. 200 is the allowed limit of cobalt in the system.
What's the worst case scenario for him?
Years.
Years. Not
years. Okay. Not year. So Pete Moody, who I declare, I love him. He'll get his time in court to prove his case.
Yeah, final break, and we'll come back and wrap up Casual Friday. We're going to go. Casual Friday. You're at Flemington tomorrow, Richo.
You've been terrific, Flipper.
Enjoyed it.
Chewing
the fat.
Hey, hope we get to see you again. Princess.
Group hugs all around.
Hope to see you next week.
Just keeping your powder dry on a couple of things. Stay tuned.
Always leave them wanting more is my theory.
Not in all aspects of life.
Thanks, team.
It's true. It's been a problem.
Nicely done. On that note, we'll pause and I'll be back.